Welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the official podcast of everythingaction.com. Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast podcast for the week of November 15th, 2021. I'm your host, Zach, and joining us this week we have Chris.
Hello.
And we have a ton of stuff to do this week. We have all the Disney Plus Day stuff that came out, although it wasn't quite the extravaganza people thought it was going to be, but there was some stuff to dive into for that. We got all sorts of other crazy news to get into. But I think we obviously have to kick things off with what blew up the internet earlier this week, which is the second, I guess it's the official, because the first one was the teaser trailer, and this is the official trailer for Spider-Man No Way Home. Which still did not tease or drop any of the the worst kept secret in the world, which is like the Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire are probably gonna show up at some point in it. No hints of like the other Spider-Men, but tons of villains. That was the big thing of this new trailer. It's like reconfirming who's showing up as far as like previous villains. So, we already saw Alfred Molina back as Doc Ock in the first trailer, and he's back much more with him in this new one. And it kind of had the interesting tidbit where, he confirms that, Tom Holland is not the Peter Parker that he knows.
Right. But it's, he's from an alternate reality, I guess, that is Tobey Maguire, universe. I wish, we get designation versus, numbers.
Yeah. You know? And we also got the confirmation that Jamie Foxx is definitely back as Electro, and he's got a fancy new. He's not blue. He's got some sort of It seems like he might not be particularly from the Amazing Spider-Man universe. Yeah. It looks like this Max Dillon made his own suit. He's got a very homemade kind of looking battery. He's got batteries on strapped to himself and stuff.
He kind of looks like he bought all his gear off an army surplus store.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not blue. He's apparently getting his powers from electric eels this time.
Dubstep eels.
Yeah. We got 100% confirmation that Willem Dafoe is back as the Green Goblin. He's back in the classic Sam Raimi Green Goblin suits. But then there's also another. There's a quick shot of another Goblin. So people are trying to figure out who the hell is that. Is it gonna be Willem Dafoe in a different outfit? Is it gonna be Dane DeHaan? Is it gonna be I think some people were saying could it even be Ned, because Ned in the comics apparently turns into the Hobgoblin at some point.
Yeah, but it's blatantly the Willem Dafoe voice, and then it's it could be
it's his voice, but that guy in the weird hood costume, we don't know who that is. Yeah,
not James Franco.
I don't think they'd bring James Franco back just because of how problematic he's been recently. So
the other Franco brother.
Yeah. Oh, Dave. Dave
Franco.
Yeah.
It could work.
I mean, it could be a surprise. Dane DeHaan's back too. That could be just remember me, guys? No. Okay. Remember my weird goblin syndrome that I had?
That I cured myself. Somehow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We also got Lizard. Looks like Lizard from Amazing Spider-Man 1 is also going to be back. And Sandman. Although I'm wondering if Sandman's just going to be constantly just a giant sand creature, because we haven't heard anything about Thomas Hayden Church being back in normal form. So I'm wondering if Sandman's just going to be a giant kind of sand creature for the entire movie, the entire time he's in it.
Yeah, I've heard people joke where basically he's being paid to sit in a sound booth to scream and roar.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, a lot looks like, tons of stuff going on in this movie in this trailer. We got I guess spider suits back. Also, he's got, and then Peter has some sort of new, it's not the black symbiote suit, but it looks like it's a weird armor suit, looks like.
It's a magic suit.
Yeah, it's a magic suit, because he's able to, he's using Doctor Strange's magic rings around his arm at some point. And there's also something too where it's like they're turning the Statue of Liberty into Captain America. They're putting a Captain America shield on the Statue of Liberty or something. It's like a big like thing that's happening in the MCU apparently.
I don't know if that's like, I think that's just like another universe he crash lands and where that happened.
Maybe. I mean they made a Captain America musical, so I mean, maybe they're just like, it's weird to like every, yeah, like it's like Captain America, everyone's going all in on Captain America, and like there's not really any like Iron, like you haven't really seen any like Iron Man statues or memorials except for like graffiti.
Well, no one really knows he did it, you know, besides the Avengers. Yeah. Captain America is like, he was beloved all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Except for when he went rogue by the U.S. government.
Yeah. And there is, have you seen, apparently there was like a, I think it was like a Brazilian trailer or like some sort of international trailer.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Where they showed, so there's a shot at the end of the main trailer that we all got to see, where it's like Spider-Man's like swinging at Sandman, Electro, and Lizard. And it's just like Tom Holland Spider-Man swinging at them. But then apparently there's an international trailer where you can see, like it's slight, that scene goes slightly longer than the like U.S. main trailer, and you can see Lizard getting knocked back by something, which
clearly means, like his head getting like kicked in.
Yeah, so it's fairly obvious, and it's the way it's set up of like three villains and then like
charging at Spider-Man like that.
It's obviously three villains up against three Spider-Men. I mean, that's obvious. They obviously just edited it out like Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield from that scene.
I saw like the other leak that puts them like all the Spider-Men in it. I can't tell if it's real or not, but it's like exactly where you think they would be.
Yeah. I mean that is the worst kept secret I think in like movie history of like where like no one like Andrew Garfield keeps saying he's not in the movie.
Only one that says it. Tobey Maguire has not responded. He did the smart thing by just not saying anything. But Andrew Garfield is taking a tour of saying he's not in it. He's not in it. So now he's just like the man who cried wolf, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's no way they're not in it. I think I saw some people too, like saying like maybe like there's like that scene that where like MJ is like falling, which is like the classic all the love interests have to fall off a building at some point scene. Mm-hmm. But people were saying like, oh, what if like Andrew Garfield like kind of swung in and actually like saved her this time, and it's like not this time. Like,
yeah, I can see that's a good like introduction scene where it's like in this version, he's just been waiting to save people from the edge.
Do you think they'll show up like just for like that final like Statue of Liberty battle? Because that Statue of Liberty battle seems like that's like the finale.
It does, right? It seems like Doctor Strange is there. He's like, oh, they're opening. I can't close it. They're all coming.
Yeah.
And it's like everyone battling where it's like all the Spider-Man. I could see like another version of the movie where basically they first break in all the villains and like one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter defeats them and puts them in the box, the Ghostbuster trap box.
Yeah.
And then obviously it's like, well, I need to destroy like their universes or whatever. And then that's where Peter goes, no, let's try to save them all. And then,
it seems like Doctor Strange realizes, or because he says like, oh, they're all supposed to die at the hands of a Spider-Man or something. But then our like MCU Peter's like, no, I'm not gonna like kill them, or like I'll try to stop them without killing them, or like having them get killed. And then that seems like the disagreement between Doctor Strange and Peter. We're like Doctor Strange is trying to like conserve like the multiverse timelines or something, and if they're supposed to die, then they're gonna die.
Right, or like throw them back to where they're supposed to die or something. I don't quite know what Peter's goal was, because it's like, I'm just gonna grab this box and just keep it away from you so you can't do anything with it. Like, I need to know that plot.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm still on board. It looks exciting.
Oh man, I'm hyped for it. Hopefully people are like, don't get too, super like too hyped about it, and then like go in, and then like if it doesn't like deliver like everything everyone thinks it's gonna deliver, then we don't like all of us don't get like super disappointed by it. But I'm I'm definitely like super like anticipating this one in a couple weeks. So yeah, it's basically like just under a month away. It's December 17th is when this is coming out. So get ready for that. We'll definitely probably be there opening weekend or close to that, checking it out. And then speaking of Disney stuff, last Friday was Disney Plus Day, which was like kind of their made up like PR events to celebrate. I think it was basically to celebrate kind of like a year of Disney Plus.
A year in the streaming wars.
Yeah, or is it 2 years? Has it only been a year of? I think it's been 2 years of Disney Plus, right?
I don't remember. I just remember the first few months of Disney Plus was rough. There was not much on.
Except for, like, The Mandalorian. That was, like, the only thing to watch.
That was later. That was way later.
No, the first couple episodes came out, the first three episodes came out, like, day one.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was 2018 is when Disney Plus launched. So, yeah, it's kind of celebrating the second anniversary of Disney Plus.
Yeah, but, when was Mandalorian? 2019?
The day it launched, it had three episodes of Mandalorian. That was like the main selling point of it. But I think a lot of people were expecting a lot more. I think a lot more trailers, a lot more reveals. I think people were like hoping for like maybe like an Obi-Wan actual trailer, but they kind of put out like a sizzle reel with like concept art and stuff for Obi-Wan. There were trailers for some of the like upcoming Marvel shows, but they were like buried in like a weird, like it wasn't on YouTube or anything. You had to like watch this like Marvel 2021 Disney Plus Day special on Disney Plus to see them. But like fortunately, people ripped them off from like Disney Plus and put them on YouTube, so they are on YouTube now. But like Disney did not officially put them out on YouTube or anything. They're like in this weird Marvel special that went up on Disney Plus Day. But just running down some of the news that came out. There's Obi-Wan concept art, which shows like one of the concept art shows Obi-Wan and Darth Vader battling each other again. So I don't know if that's gonna be like a some sort of weird vision or something, or if that actually is gonna happen and there's like retcon of like, oh yeah, they fought each other again before A New Hope.
And then he won.
And it looks like the Sith Inquisitors are gonna be in the show at some point too. Possibly maybe even like what I got, it was like Sarah Michelle Gellar voiced like Seventh Sister from Rebels. But there's been a whole bunch of Inquisitors. They were in like Rebels and Fallen Order. They're like Vader's main like Jedi hunting team. They just go around killing Jedi.
Yeah, like the elite group.
Yeah.
Are they Sith or just like really good at fighting?
I think they're Sith, or I'm trying to think if they've shown any force powers. I don't remember them actually. Maybe they're just really good at fighting. I don't know. Maybe they're just good at like sword lightsaber fighting. I can't remember them like doing any sort of like crazy like force moves during fights or anything. Maybe, I don't know. We'll find out at Obi-Wan, I guess, or just go back rewatch Rebels or something. But we also got, so I think Marvel is the main thing that they kind of like. There's a whole slew of like new logo confirmations, new shows announced. So we did get we got teasers for Moon Knight, She-Hulk, and Miss Marvel, but they were in that weird special. But people did rip them off on YouTube, so you could watch them. The Moon Knight one's weird because like I didn't expect Oscar to have like a crazy like, is it like a Scottish accent or an Irish accent?
Some sort of English accent.
Yeah, I didn't
European. I didn't expect that either.
Yeah, I don't remember Mark Spector being like British, like from the UK. is he like an American like mercenary in like the comics? Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was, I always knew he was like a businessman. I didn't know he was a mercenary.
Mm-hmm. Well, that was like the whole thing. That I think that's why. Well, I guess it depends on what version. But like, I know one of the versions like he was a mercenary, and then he was like he like got shot while he was in like Egypt or whatever, and he was like dying, and then like Khonshu talked to him and like basically like he's like if you like give, like let me like control you or possess you, then like I'll let you live and give you the Moon Knight powers. But yeah, do what I say.
That is interesting. I just remember the one where he's crazy. That's like the one that's the more modern one that people like.
Yeah, where he has he's got like multiple personalities, and like so he's like he'll appear in different, like he'll have a suit at one point, but he'll appear like later on in like the regular like costume, and you're not sure which Moon Knight's gonna show up.
Right. I don't know if you're answering for a mix of all of them then.
Yeah. I definitely got like a like the Netflix show vibes from that, like this Moon Knight teaser. Like it looks like, it looks like at the one point definitely like a Daredevil style fight happened or something where like it's like, and then like it's just like Oscar Isaac standing like around like a bunch of guys he just beat the shit out of.
Street.
Yeah. And we hear a bit of Ethan Hawke. We don't see him. We don't know. I mean he's playing the villain or like some sort of villainous thing. I wonder if he is like the voice of Khonshu, maybe. I don't know if that would like if they'd make him like the villainous, like you know, make Khonshu more of like a malevolent force or something.
That'd be interesting.
Because he's just sort of like he's like that like you just hear him kind of talking like, oh, that voice you hear in your head.
That's me.
Yeah. And then there was also the She-Hulk first look, which kind of just a tease of what She-Hulk looks like, and then confirmation that Mark Ruffalo is definitely in it and is like working with Tatiana Maslany to like I guess harness her Hulkness or like figure out what's happening to her. And there was a weird like throwback to like the like Lou Ferrigno show with like there's like a. It's like all of a sudden it turns like the 70s. It looks like it's coming from the 70s, and it's just like you wouldn't like me when I'm angry. So I don't know if it's like a lawyer ad she shot or something. Is that if it's like some sort of in universe like commercial or something she shot?
I also think how I can do like the blood transfer, because that was like the way she got to be the Hulk was for some reason, that was the only, like, donor blood.
Yeah, because they were related, and then they had the same blood type or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not really any hint of, like, how Jennifer becomes She-Hulk, but it was only, like, a 30-second teaser, so.
Right.
And then there's also a Ms. Marvel trailer, which also, was, I think, was only, like less than 30 seconds long. But it kind of just introduces Kamala, and then she has like her homemade suit, and then it looks like it shows a little bit how like she ends up in some sort of like weird like power thing, like some sort of like weird like power field or something, and then that's how she gets her powers. Some sort of cosmic energy field or something. They didn't really show her any of her like stretching powers. That's like her big. She's basically like Mr. Fantastic. Like she can like stretch her like body all over, like crazy ways.
You're right. It's not her original power. Except I think she can fly.
I don't. I mean, I she could probably like bounce her legs so that she can like, yeah, and she can like swing and like in like the Avengers game, like she would be able to swing, she could swing with her, making her arms long, so her arms basically like turn into like grapple hooks basically, and then she could like jump really far because she'd like stretch her legs super high and then like launch that way. So I don't think she can fly. I think she just like is like maybe like old school Superman, like she can like leap really high and like bound places. But yeah, I mean, yeah, just kind of a quick tease at all these shows. Hopefully, maybe we'll get more and like officially, like Disney will like officially release longer trailers soon for those.
Yeah,
but so I think those
like weird hacky ways and sort of hiding trailers.
Yeah, But I think all those are coming next year on Disney Plus at some point. So you can look, keep an eye out for those. We also found out that Marvel Zombies is getting its own full animated show. So I don't know if this is like officially a spinoff from What If, or if it's going to be a different animation style. But there's going to be a Marvel Zombies standalone show. There's going to be a Spider-Man show called Spider-Man Freshman Year, which is going to also be animated. So I guess like the earlier adventures of the MCU Spider-Man.
It's like his homemade costume.
Yeah, maybe. Yes, maybe more of that. Or like maybe like when he first got bit.
Oh, my God. They're going to go with like Uncle Ben thing, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Maybe we'll finally see the Uncle Ben of the MCU. There's going to be Groot is getting his own animated series called I Am Groots. They officially confirmed that Agatha House of Harkness is going to be coming to Disney Plus. So Agatha is getting her own spinoff show, which we found out about a couple weeks ago, I think.
Yeah.
And then I think the biggest thing, and kind of out of nowhere too, is that we are getting a continuation of the 90s X-Men show called X-Men 97.
Yeah, that part's interesting.
I think they're going to do like it's going to be basically the kind of the same animation style.
I heard concept art. It looks like a little different.
I'm sure they're probably modernizing it a little bit, but it'll probably be like hopefully mostly like hopefully you'll be able to look at it and see like, oh yeah, this is definitely like a continuation of like the 90s show. And I think they've said some of the voice cast is coming back. They haven't really gotten into like a lot of them coming back yet, but I think like, although it was weird because like I can't remember her name, but whoever voiced Jubilee is coming back, but she's not voicing Jubilee, she's voicing another character. But I think pretty much everyone's back. Like so Cal Dodd's gonna be back as Wolverine, and George Buza is gonna be Beast, and Chris Potter's gonna be Gambit again. Laura Zan's gonna be Rogue again. Catherine Disher's gonna be Jane Grey. And I think the producers from the original show, like the kind of like the guy, like the showrunners from the original show, are also gonna be back to like showrun this one. So hopefully it's definitely gonna feel like basically just like picking up right where like the original one left off. Hopefully this as well. Maybe we'll get like a 90s Spider-Man continuation. It's like they can finally finish that show.
I thought Spider-Man Unlimited was the continuation.
I would like an actual show that like erases Spider-Man Unlimited from the canon and then like actually finishes up like whatever the hell was gonna like end up after.
Yeah, the like, Madam Web thing.
It ends with like, let's go find Mary Jane, the real Mary Jane, and then we never find out what happens.
Never happens.
They did a quantum leap thing. Yeah, they did like the Spider-Verse episodes where like they got all the other Spider-Men, including like, the guy who was just like an actor,
yep.
Spider-Man, and then they had to stop like Spider Carnage Man, and then yeah, and then there's just like, oh, let's go find Mary Jane now. And then that was the end of the show. Never. And then
some Madam Web was like, hey, come with me. Let's go into like time and space and find Mary Jane.
Yeah. And then they ended up on a rocket ship and it ended up on Beast Planet.
Yeah, well, it's like even crazier because it's like, oh, hey, yeah, I solved all that. Anyway, I'm going to space. Like, wait.
Yeah.
What? And then he went to an alternate dimension.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what happened to Mary Jane. She just fell in a portal. Was that it?
She fell into a portal like in like the second or like a second or third season or something. And then she came back, but then the Mary Jane that came back was like a water clone that was created by Hydro Man.
Yeah, it was like not the right one.
And then she like dissolved, and then it was like, oh, Mary Jane's dead, I guess.
Oh, that
was
horrifying.
Oh, no. Yeah, but then it's like, oh no, she's just like lost in like some other dimension or something. So yeah, but yeah, hopefully this X-Men showed as well, and it's a like an awesome continuation of like the original X-Men cartoon, and then we'll get like maybe we'll get something with Spider-Man. Because even more than X-Men, I think that the 90s Spider-Man show needs like some sort of closure, continuation or something.
I think the X-Men one ends on like an okay note, right? Like it.
Yeah, I think it, like, at least it ends. I think it at least ends.
It's like it finishes the arc.
Yeah. So, other news from Disney Plus Day, Baymax from Big Hero 6 is getting his own show called Baymax. And I guess it'll be like further adventures in like the Big Hero 6 universe.
I thought they already had a Big Hero 6 like TV show.
They had a cartoon, but this is gonna be like that was like a 2D animated show. This is gonna be like a 3D animated show.
I see.
There's gonna be a Cars show called Cars on the Road, and Owen Wilson and Larry the Cable Guy are gonna be back. There's gonna be a Princess and the Frog show called Tiana, and it's basically like gonna be her further adventures. There's gonna be a Zootopia like short form show, like so like short animated shorts called Zootopia Plus. There's an official production photo from Hocus Pocus 2, so I think that's shooting right now, I think, and that's gonna be out fall next year. They confirmed Disenchanted is gonna be out next year, so the sequel to Enchanted, which is finally on Disney Plus. You can like it's been like 2 years, like people have been waiting like 2 years for that to actually like finally show up on Disney Plus, and it finally is. The Spiderwick Chronicles are gonna be a Disney Plus original show. Remember that?
Kind of. I remember like there was a video game on it.
Yeah, that was like in like that like rush of like we need a Harry Potter. Find us a Harry Potter. So there's like one Spider-Man movie, I think, and then that bombed horribly, and then like that was the last anyone ever heard of
it. It was like three kids go in the woods.
Yeah, I don't really know what the premise is.
Yeah, I don't know either. So I was like, I just remember like
it's a sort of fantasy thing.
And it's like the Spider-Wick Chronicles was like really fancy font. It was like woodland magic font.
Yeah. There's also some National Geographic shows coming. So Chris Hemsworth is gonna start a show called Limitless, where it seems like he's like trying to like push his body to the limit and like
Chris Hemsworth does things.
Try to kill himself. Like he's just, like putting himself in like crazy predicaments to like test like the limits of human potential. Will Smith is gonna be in a show called Welcome to Earth, where he's just gonna like kind of like go around and visit places around the earth, and it's gonna be out. It's got actually out in a couple weeks on December 8th on Disney+. And then some sort of like a new like kind of nature documentary called America the Beautiful, where it's just gonna like go to different places around America and like national parks and stuff, and just follow animals and you know typical National Geographic special or show stuff. But yeah, that's pretty much for Disney Plus Day. So I think kind of like not as exciting as people were like hoping it would be. Like I think people were like expecting like a lot more trailers, like or like trailers to actually be on like available somewhere other than like buried on Disney Plus itself.
Yeah.
You had to dig into Disney Plus to find like those like that like Marvel special that like actually had like the Moon Knight show or stuff in it.
Yeah, I just waited because I was like, no matter what, I'm not working for my Disney Plus. And why is it just not like a roll of it? Why is it just like all these like interview bullshit?
Someone's gonna rip this from like the Disney Plus app soon. So which is like what happened. Like it was like those were like everywhere in like an hour after they came out. So yeah, not the best event. It's pretty much just like it was mostly just like a Twitter feed, like a few hour Twitter feed of just like the Disney Plus Twitter account just like tweeting things.
Yep.
So hopefully the next event is like a little more exciting than that. But jumping over to another streaming service, so HBO Max announced a interesting project. So they are rebooting the Steven Seagal classic Under Siege. So there's gonna be a remake of Under Siege. It's gonna be an like, HBO Max exclusive. And definitely the thing that makes it like much more interesting than like I think a lot of us would think is that Timo Giganto is directing it, who is the director of The Night Comes for Us and various VHS segments. But I mean, yeah, Night Comes for Us is like one of the best like action movies of like the last of like recent years. Like it's like super awesome martial arts, brutal insanity. So man, like a Raid, like an Under Siege like remake with like the Raid style or like Night Comes for Us style like martial arts in it. It seems kind of like that could be kind of amazing. Although I wonder who they would like who would be the new like Casey Ryback. Just throw Iko Uwe in there. Or
yeah,
something.
Just I don't know, make it
Joe Taslim.
Oh, I mean, is it still gonna be set on a battle cruiser that gets like terrorized?
Yeah, I don't know if it's gonna be like the exact same premise level, like battleship gets taken over, and then like the like Navy SEAL / cook gets like fight them all Die Hard style. I'm assuming it's gonna be like a Die Hard scenario somewhere, like but they didn't really say if it's gonna be like exactly like a battleship like the first one. I also wonder like if they would have like the same like duo of like villains, like who could replicate the duo of Gary Busey and Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, the Tommy Lee Jones knife fight at the end is awesome, but it's just like
yeah.
So out of place.
Well, at least we know if they did replicate that. I mean, if you saw Night Comes for Us, I'm like Timo Tijando could like make it like an awesome knife fight for the end of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we'll see. Like if the Timo Tijando directing it is like. Definitely makes it like much more like interesting than like just like some random person and like it was like HOX was like, I don't know, remember Under Siege? I don't know.
You know, they can also get Josh Brolin to be like a younger Tommy Jones.
Oh man, that'd be awesome. So Josh Brolin would be Tommy Jones, and who would be like Gary Busey? Like who's Nicolas Cage?
No, what's the other Busey doing?
Jake Busey? Josh Brolin and Jake Busey versus like Iko Uwe or something.
We don't have like an arrogant action star anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, we have like The Rock and Vin Diesel that are like the closest we get, but not like ponytail.
Jason Statham.
Like a ponytail?
Not a ponytail.
I would love.
Oh my god. I would see Jason Statham in like a Steven Seagal wig.
Yep.
Never beat me in the kitchen.
Yeah, I mean, you totally could work.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be weird, but it could work.
And then just cast like a bunch of like random like comedians or like because he had like the weird like supporting guest. It wasn't the Nashby. It was like the Ken from Street Fighter the movie was like his like sidekick, and then like Eric Galiniak, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't really do much besides get captured.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll definitely keep an eye on this remake because Under Siege is. I think it's definitely Steven Seagal's best movie, and it's one of our favorites. So definitely interesting to see what they're gonna do, especially with like the Timo Giganto directing it. So. That'll be on HBO Max sometime in the near future here. And then we also got some news that Interplay, the video game company, or I guess it's Interplay Entertainment Corp, is trying to get a new Earthworm Jim cartoon in development. So Interplay owns the rights to Earthworm Jim. Apparently, if like the scam that is like the television, whatever that new like the new television thing that's coming out, if that ever comes out, like that's supposed to have like an exclusive like Earthworm Jim game on it. But Yeah, I guess this is hopefully separate from that. But they're trying to Interplay apparently is trying to like get like some of the they still have like rights to like a bunch of their like classic games, so they're trying to like get a bunch of like movies and TV projects in the works. And they put out like a quick like it was like a 2 minute long like teaser or a like test footage of it. It's like it. I'm trying to think what it like what the footage like what the animation style reminds me of. But it's more 2D, but it's sort of like a 3D 2D hybrid because it's or it looks like 3D with like kind of like 2D painted over it or something.
Okay.
It's definitely not Dan Castellaneta doing the voice, or at least not for this test footage, like which is because he voiced it Jim and like the there was like the 90 like the 90s animated
yeah,
show.
Yeah.
And I think did he voice him for like was it Earthworm Jim? Was it Earthworm Jim 64 or was it like they have another name? Was it Earthworm Jim 3D? Was like the last one?
Honestly, I don't remember.
It was on like the PlayStation 64. It was pretty terrible. But no like platform, no release date for this yet. It's just like kind of like there's like I guess maybe they're shopping this like test footage around to people and see who's if they were just in the Earthworm Jim show again.
They're going around like showing people like ha, now if you give us a lot of money, we will make this.
Remember Earthworm Jim?
Of course you do. Come on. I mean, it's one of those characters that definitely like lives in people's minds, but I don't know the fandom's like there yet. You know, I feel like if Warframe 2 was featured in more games with like a cameo, it would slowly build up the rapport. But this comes out of nowhere where it's like Earthworm Jim coming soon. You want it?
He was in Clay Fighter, 63 and a third or whatever that whatever the 64 one was. As like a bonus character along with like mm-hmm. Booger Man.
I mean, it was cool. Don't get me wrong. I like the character. I like the fact that you know, Earthworm Jim is kind of like a beloved game. The problem is that like the last game out, the full game came out in like 2010, and that was just like an HD remake of the first game.
Yeah. Well, I think Jim like his world and kind of like his like. Wack like the like wacky sensibility and like I think even if you were if they could make a show that like even if you didn't like know the games like if they could probably make a show that, like stands by itself and it's like interesting to people who they're like never even played the game because like all the crazy characters and the world's interesting and, like of like Earth Jim, so I feel like even if like you've never even played it like, even though that it was based on that game like hopefully they'd be able to make a show that's like funny and like interesting, but yeah, I guess we'll have to see if anyone picks it up then when it's coming out. But we'll definitely keep an eye on that one. And then we also got some news about Lethal Weapon 5, which is apparently actually speaking of Under Siege earlier. This is also going to be a HBO Max exclusive, and. Richard Donner was going to direct it, but obviously he passed away in July this year. Apparently Mel Gibson is in talks to star and direct Lethal Weapon 5.
Okay. I know he can direct. I know he can act. It's just like,
yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm. I mean, Mel Gibson is all over the place right now. Like, he's in... he was in Boss Level earlier this year. He's gonna be in like the John Wick spinoff show. I feel like he was at, like there's also like a, there's like another big like Mel Gibson like announcement of like, something he's gonna be in. I don't know. He's got a ton of movies on the way. So. Oh, he's in there's like a Scott Eastwood movie that just came out called Dangerous that he's like Scott Eastwood's like psychiatrist or something. But yeah, it's sort of like the Mel Gibson Renaissance is on, even though a lot of people are not happy about it. But it's yeah, he's in a ton of stuff, a ton of like high profile stuff, and this is the latest one, Lethal Weapon 5. And I guess Danny Glover is, it's not clear if Danny Glover's gonna come back or not, which, I mean, if Danny Glover's not gonna come back, like, what's the point of this?
Then? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, like, that's the thing. It's not the Mel Gibson part. It's really the Danny Glover part.
Yeah. just throw Damon Wayans in there. Like,
surprise.
He's Murtaugh. Yes, it's full of multiverse. Like Damon Wayans just steps out of portal.
Yeah. And then everyone from the different, like, Lethal Weapon S thing show up.
Yeah.
Watch that be a trend later. Watch like these people try to do like the portal merging, and just, this is how you get bullshit merge universes now, because it's a hot topic lately.
Yeah, like the buddy cop multiverse, where like anything that was like inspired by like Lethal Weapon, or like fuses together. So, but yeah, so there's not really any plot details yet. I think that, like, when Richard Donner was talking about it, he was talking about, like, this is going to be, like, definitely the final Lethal Weapon movie. But yeah, not really any plot details or, like, what anything really about what's going on with it. But I guess we know Mel Gibson will be back, and then Riggs will be back, so... But then that's kind of the only deals we know so far, and then it's also gonna be an HBO Max exclusive. So yeah, I guess we'll have to keep an eye on that, and see what else, like, if Danny Glover confirms if comes back, or what else is going on with this one. And then last bit of news, we got word that Pumpkinhead is also coming back. There's gonna be a Pumpkinhead reboot or remake for Paramount.
Okay, I mean, I haven't seen the original Pumpkinhead in a long time.
It's weird.
I'm excited for it. It's like, you think it is gonna be about this monster, and then it turns out it's mostly just like people yelling at pumpkin fields.
Well, there's kind of like a long setup of like following Lance Henriksen at his weird like gas station that he runs with his son, and then his son gets killed by like rowdy 80s teens. It's so weird, because like it starts out kind of like this like really grounded like movie, and then when Lance Henriksen's son dies, he goes to like a fucking witch, and then just the movie just goes off the rails, and it's like, oh, this witch, there's like magic witches now, and then like you the Pumpkinhead monsters. So I guess whatever this Pumpkinhead remake is in production right now. There's a script completed for it, and it might be a Paramount Plus, maybe like a Paramount Plus exclusive, because it's the same a company or like division of Paramount that did like Paranormal Activity, Next of Kin, and they're also doing like the Pet Sematary prequel, which is also like a Paramount Plus exclusive, I think. So yeah, it seems like this might be like there's a good chance this probably could be like a Paramount Plus exclusive. And there's so this will be like the fourth or fifth, I think the fifth Pumpkinhead movie, because there was the original one plus three sequels. Right. And then this will be like a reboot, but it'll be the fifth movie in the franchise.
Are they going to do like the acknowledgement, or is it going to be a hardcore reboot?
Not really in detail. I would guess I don't know the lore of Pumpkinhead. I feel like you could probably just do like a full like hard cut remake and just like just go with it. Like,
because the monster it's not what you think it's gonna look like. The Pumpkinhead monster is not like pumpkin. It's just like more like, it looks like the Violator from Spawn.
Yeah, it's very. Well, I mean, Stan Winston created it, so And I think also he directed the original one too. So that was, but it, yeah, it's a classic like Stan Winston like creature. It's like sort of like it's sort of xenomorphy, but like and mixed with like maybe some other stuff that he's made. But yeah, it's not like the Headless Horseman or something running around with like a flaming pumpkin head or something. Yeah, I think he's only pumpkin head because like his head is kind of like bulging and orangish.
Yeah, sort of. I mean, I get it, but it's not what you think it's gonna be.
I think Lance Henriksen had like, because I think the pumpkinhead monster is like it is like created from like the body of like the like family member you're trying to get revenge for or something. So I think the pumpkinhead monster is like the mutated like magically transformed body of like Lance Henriksen's dead son or something.
But it comes after Lance Henriksen, doesn't it?
I think at the end when it's like when he's like, oh, I decided not to do this anymore, but then it's like, well, like it's always like you can't stop Pumpkinhead. Like you can't stop, like you set this in motion, now you can't stop it.
Yeah, so that's how long it's been. Like it used to be on TV a lot more, and then suddenly it's just not on TV a lot. I mean, I don't know where it's just streaming, but I mean I don't want to watch it again. It was like early 90s like movie.
Well, it was 88. I'm sure it probably played throughout the 90s on like HBO or something or
I remember like I remember the beginning a lot more than the end. Mm-hmm. That's another movie we should do commentary on.
Oh, Pumpkinhead, yeah. Maybe next Halloween or something. But yeah, I guess keep an eye out for the Pumpkinhead remake that's coming sometime in the near future here. So
before we wrap it up, let's talk about one more thing. I have to talk about.
Yep.
As a comic fan, so Dark Horse announced that they got the rights to the Marvel comics again.
Oh man.
They can actually like make new storylines or continue it. I don't know how that works, but I mean. Finally, because the new Star Wars comics, besides like one or two series, have been great. The rest have been just bizarre cash-ins. So now they're like, they have the freedom just to do whatever they want again. And make original stories and continue. They say they're going to continue like within the new universe, but I bet like they're allowed to just like go outside and kind of make expanded universe stuff. But hands down, Dark Horse did the best, like, hey, let's just take this fun idea and run with it, and let's see if it fits in the story canon.
Yeah. So is Marvel Comics still going to, like, publish Star Wars comics, too? Or is Dark Horse going to be, like, the main, like, Star Wars comic?
I think there's main Star Wars comic, because they just got it back, and then it allows them to write a lot of the official lore. But then I think IEW also has some of that Star Wars license, so they're allowed to make, like, kid-friendly versions of whatever. Well,
it looks like I'm just looking over like the press release quick. I guess the first thing they're gonna return to for Star Wars is like I guess they're gonna do like some sort of like High Republic story. So that's gonna be like the first Dark Horse comic back in Star Wars, and then they're like go from there, I guess.
Yeah, just kind of messing around with whatever they want.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I get it. They're stuck to do, like, the High Republic, but then they're allowed to, like, kind of flip-flop, because that was a good thing about the Dark Horse series. They just were like, there's no demand. Some of it, there might be some Timothy, whatever his name is, novels. We'll kind of...
Timothy Zahn, yeah.
Timothy Zahn's novels, we'll, like, use that as a starter. But then they go on and make their own, like, sagas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some of the publicity I saw, they're using, like, the Skywalker Descendant character.
Okay.
Which they're not going to use now. Like, that guy's out of the canon. You know, where it's, like, two or three generations later, and it's, like, the Skywalker is actually, like, a bad guy who tries to be a good guy now.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks like Luke, but, like, way more badass.
I wonder if they, like, let, if, like, since Dark Horse has, like, the rights again, or, like, they're, like, oh, they're going to start publishing Star Wars again. Or if they, like, could, like, make, like, bring any of their, like, old stuff into like new canon and make like it's canon now. Like,
I don't know, but probably like, Marvel was like, no, that's the old like legacy, whatever it was.
like make like you know, like Crimson Empire or something, like say like that's canon again, or like whatever other Dark Horse stuff they did.
So, I mean, again, I'm more excited about that because like, so, like at least that kept, like as a kid reading those comics was something that kind of kept the Star Wars magic alive in a way.
Yeah.
It wasn't all good, let me tell you that, but it was definitely the like better than waiting for Disney to announce stuff. Just Dark Horse and just keeping the stories rolling.
Yeah, I read a ton of like the well all the Boba Fett stuff was great. Like Rogue Squadron, like that series. There was like was it Infinities? Like the Star Wars What If?
That was later. Awesome. That was way later.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still good. Don't get me wrong, but I was saying like that was cool.
I mean, obviously Shadows of the Empire. That like they yep. were like they're a big part of that. Dark Empire was good. Crimson Empire. Anything with Empire, basically. if it had Empire in the name, it was usually good.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Like that's yeah. cool news. That was good to see Dark Horse get that back. But I mean, I'm waiting for them to get Aliens back again too. Or whatever deal they're going on with, because the new Aliens in the Marvel universe is just bizarre.
Yeah, just give Dark Horse back everything they had before Disney bought them. Just give them back Indiana Jones and Aliens and Predator and Star Wars.
I think Marvel had Indiana Jones first.
Yeah, there was an awesome which I had the whole set of like it was like the Further Adventures of Indiana Jones from Marvel, but then Dark Horse put out, when they got the Indiana Jones rights, they put out a bunch of like Indiana Jones that were also pretty awesome. Including, they did like a adaptation of like Fate of Atlantis, the game. Mm-hmm. They did a adaptation of that, and they also had like some other like original ones they did.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, we'll have to see what Dark Horse does with the Star Wars license back.
Yeah, man, like they bid their time. Like the Star Wars comics, they're doing okay, but it wasn't like memorable. I think the only character that stands out is the Dr. Alpha series.
Well, yeah, the Darth Vader one, that series.
That one teeters.
It was awesome. Yeah,
it teeters on being awesome or just like stagnant, where like it's basically like, haha, like Vader got away again because he can't die here.
Yeah.
This has no consequence, really. That's what I hate about like original character storylines, where it's like doesn't serve a purpose. It's just more like filler. I don't know. That's my nerd brain, where it's like there's no risk for Darth Vader.
Yeah. Like he can like almost get defeated, or like he like you get if he. Like you can't stop him. He has to either like retreat or like kill whoever's he either kills whoever's like attacking him, or like he has to like escape and like retreat, and because he can't die or get defeated or anything. So
or if it's like some big revelation, he like, yeah, okay, don't worry about it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think in one version he's like, yeah, I gotta kill this Emperor guy. He's not a great guy, and like I wait years for my plan to work. Again, I'm okay with it. I just wasn't a big fan of the continuation canon stuff. I love their expanded stuff, where it's like, here's some minor characters that you fall in love with, and you don't know if they're going to live through this or not. Mm-hmm. It's same thing like Mandalorian. Like, the Mandalorian would have been a kick-ass comic series if it didn't come to a live-action TV show. Mm-hmm. But now that it does, it's like, okay, you see, Disney, you can have characters that aren't part of the Skywalker timelines. But then you can do a Rogue One where it's like, oh, you like these characters? They all died on this like planet.
Yeah. Well, there's a ton of like bounty hunter stuff in Dark Horse, like Dark Horse comics. There's like Tales from the Bounty Hunters, and just like random, just like here's like a IG-88, like was it War of the Bounty Hunters? That was like it was like IG-88 versus Bosk versus Boba Fett. Yeah, there's like a ton of great like anthology Dark Horse comics too. Just like here's a bunch of random, like, here's a bunch of random Star Wars characters just doing random stuff. But yeah, you guys definitely keep an eye out in your local comic shop or online and see what comes out from Dark Horse. So yes, yeah, so that's pretty much it for news this week. So I jump into show and tell. And Chris, did you see anyone last week or so here?
Yeah, I saw Shang-Chi finally.
Yes, that was probably the biggest thing of Disney Plus Day, was that Shang-Chi was released to everybody on Disney Plus.
And did you, I took a bunch of notes because I was like drinking and watching this, and I was like, I am not going to remember this, but let me just write them down. So I wrote down, we talked about the plot last time, right? About how like Shang-Chi.
Yeah, I saw it when it came out at theaters.
So I have a really big question about like the siblings' escape plans, because they're both like all terrible. Shang-Chi's like, well, I'll do my assassin, I'll go on my mission and then just not come back home.
Yeah.
And then the sister's plan was just to leave. Unexplainable, I left.
Or did she get sent on a mission and then leave?
No, she wasn't supposed to train to fight. So she just left. Right? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like they quickly.
I think so. Then she became like a.
Like a pit underground fighter
fight.
And pit finder manager. So it's like, all right, like, I'm just going to ignore the fact that she just left. And then you're right. Like, I think you mentioned when we talked about it, the Mandarin's plan was a good plan. Like, honestly, he had, like, good intentions.
Oh, yeah. His intentions are good. His methods were terrible. He's definitely in, like, the, Killmonger side of, like, you understand where he's coming from, but he's going about it the completely wrong way.
Yeah. Then the trees maze scene, like the pocket system vent where like the like little Pokemon was like, we'll use this method to get through, right?
Yeah.
Why suggest that when like not even the monster like can run through that without a car? Like that electric car went through top speed to match that pocket. Like to match that like hole.
Yeah.
So like, does the monster know car speed? Like, how would he know? Because it just like it got faster and faster to like do the maze. So I was like, this is a bad plan too.
You gotta assume people from Talo probably just like walked out of the forest, right? Like, there's gotta be some way to make it so it's not a maze, or like just like walk out or something. Like,
well, it seems like once a year, there's no maze. It just opens up a path.
Yeah.
To get in. Maybe to get out, it doesn't do the maze, but to get in, it does.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because that'd be such a hassle. If someone had to
like get supplies
for some reason, they just run as fast as they can through like
the maze. And not even that. It's like that's the thing. But that, it's like it's not. Oh, you need to run and just be quick, right? And it's like, when you bought a car can outrun a human. Like, you know, like, how the hell did this pocket system work for anyone? Mm-hmm. All right, so that, Awkwafina trained to be an Olympic-level archer in, like, 3 days or less? Like, an hour? The time doesn't make sense. And then I said about, like, now that I mentioned the China realm, because remember that... That the realm that they have the fight in, like the final fight, that's not Earth, right? It's supposed to be like
it's like another dimension. Yeah, it's like
it's like an Asgard thing, right?
It's like Asgard, but it's like Asian Asgard. It's like Talo is the village, but then it's another dimension where like there's dragons and mystical creatures.
Monsters, right? Okay, so there's a lot of questions about this other alternate world. Yeah, I have to assume that they all speak Mandarin, because that's how, like, the demon also knew how to speak to the Mandarin. Like, thank God that Super China, they all speak the same language.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, did this world just put this one town in charge of protecting this door? Because I feel like, no, like, you need more people to help in this world, right? Like, just the one village. Like, I was so confused about how the world works. Asgard is just like a plane, and it's just like it's a plane sitting in the middle of nowhere. So it's like,
well, wasn't it? Didn't they say like
it was a civilization that like
it was a whole civilization, but then and then like did like the dweller in darkness, like the giant like evil creature, like destroyed almost everything except Talo. So Talo's like the last stronghold, keeping it like under like from like breaking out and like destroying everything.
Right. So wouldn't your goal then to get more people to rebuild society besides practice kung fu every day there? Because it's like you're gonna run out of people eventually. Like there's a, it's like, you know, it's kind of like if you're not fighting, you have to be like repopulating.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I'm like, wait a minute. So like they're kind of human, right? Because like Shang-Chi is like human. He comes from those people. And then it's like, so you can go out, just get more recruits. So that way you can protect this demon door. Because it seems like if that demon door breaks down, everyone's fucked. And it's like, is it just Earth that's fucked or just Super China that's fucked? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if the Dweller in Darkness can like make its own portal and go to Earth or something.
We don't know. I mean, it just, those answers get cut off right before like, you know, everything else. I also had that, I wrote that every weapon in the movie is a stun weapon, apparently. Like, even swords and, like, knives and stuff, just a stun mode. I was like, why does this happen? I also like the Game of Thrones, dragon glass, red rock thing that they just had.
Yeah, like, dragon scale or whatever, like,
yeah,
it's only kind of stop, like, those, like, soul suckers.
And then I put down, you know, the part where the Mandarin has his life flash between his eyes and he just remembers Shang-Chi?
Mm-hmm.
Does he not remember his daughter? All the flashbacks as he's dying is just his son. I get his wife, but none of his daughter. I'm like, oh, wow, he's a shitty dad. Like, way more now.
Well, I guess he was fully invested in Shang-Chi, taking over someday or something.
I feel like the daughter was not necessary, right? She was just like a side character.
Sort of, yeah. I mean, obviously, the post-credits scene, she's going to be like a bigger force probably in the future, but.
Is she?
Because she took over the Ten Rings.
Well, she's just cleaning up the Ten Rings to make sure they're not like a menace, but they just kind of do it as a side comment. So she, even at the end credits, they're just like, oh yeah, she's the new Mandarin, sort of.
Yeah,
but just kind of for good.
Well, yeah, she took over the organization, but like Shang-Chi has the actual like 10 rings.
Yeah, but like don't wear them because they're easily corruptible by demons.
Yeah,
that's why I'm like, oh, and like I didn't get to the whole like thing that the demon rings are like the ancient rings are from like another world, like alien technology that can all.
Yeah. But
they're susceptible to like demon calls.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of was like, wait a minute. So the demon was calling so the demon rings that like the 10 rings are from an alien thing, right? Let's just say that.
Yeah.
That the demon sensed to then, hey, you're wearing the 10 rings. Like, come break me out. Like, that's essentially what the demon's plan was.
Yeah.
Wouldn't your goal then not to be get the one guy who wields these 10 rings? It would be to get the guy who makes the rings, like get the people who have the technology to make the rings. Because if they do that with just this, like what else do they make? Like you could, if you get five guys with the 10 rings, like come get those guys. You know, that's where I'm like, the demon aimed really low for the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I need one guy to punch the door down with the 10 rings with this because he has the power from these like magic rings, whatever, alien technology rings.
Mm-hmm.
And then he didn't make them. He found them. So it's like, wouldn't you want people who made the rings, not the guy who found it?
Maybe the Dweller in Darkness can't, like, communicate, like, across the galaxy or something.
He did. He talked
I guess he talked,
a range thing.
Across dimensions, yeah.
So, like, is it a dimension thing? Because that makes more sense. But then it's like, wait, so this alien, because the demon, like, okay, if you were to introduce aliens and demons, like, you gotta open up the idea that why would the demon only target humans? Wouldn't you get like an alien? You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't you can't have this is in a world that's post Avengers, a post Endgame.
Yeah.
So that demon had options. I grant it. So does that? So that kind of tells me two things. This is like how you got nerdy about it. Did the demon only reach out to the Mandarin because the demon only speaks Mandarin Chinese? And it's the only one who can understand him? Or
I get maybe like realize, oh, I could like manipulate, because like maybe because like his wife came from this place, so I can manipulate him into like pretending to be his wife and bring him here to like blow up the door.
But they mentioned, see, that's a good point. If they sort of mentioned just that, but they did mention that like for generations, like they've been trying to stop men who have come to like that door. So it wasn't just the Mandarin who showed up once like that. Like other invaders have come.
Yeah.
So it's like, have they stopped aliens or something? Like, I don't know. Like, that's the part I was like confused about, but that's why I got hung up on that detail. But that's the thing about these Marvel movies where you set the stakes to be that epic. Like, you better check box off your, like, okay, how do we explain everything? Because it's not like this is a regular movie and I'm just being a nerd about it. This is a nerd movie already, you know? Like, this is a nerd series of movies, and people like me, I'm not even doing, like, you know, plot holes. I'm just literally just, like, looking for, like, hey, we just saw Endgame, like, a year ago. Like, why didn't the monster call Thanos to come and, like, break the door down? Did this demon get dusted? You know, like, we're just gonna ignore that? You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm like, yeah. What? Mm-hmm. Some movies acknowledge where it's like, oh, like, you know, hey, this is pre-dusting. This is, I'm from, like, everyone, the stakes aren't as globally high. So it's like, okay, I get that. But then you have a demon. Like, okay, you just introduce supernatural shit, like, from another dimension that steals souls. Which, holy crap, I think the last thing I read is, like, this movie does not mess around with, like, the consequences at the end. Like, if you die from the soul monster, you're dead. And it's like, yep. Mm-hmm. I thought they might do like a, oh, the souls return or something. It's like,
yeah.
No, it's like a war zone. It's like everyone, all the bodies are laying there. I was like, whoa. Did not expect that shot.
I will say, like, I the ending was fine. I definitely prefer like the first half of Shang-Chi when it was more like when all the fights were like more like Jackie Chan style. It was more like, like more martial artsy, like, because like the end goes full like EDG. Crushing Tiger, like crazy, like
not even that. No, once it gets the ring magic shit, or and Shang-Chi knows how to do the spinning ring thing, I was like, how does he know this? Where did he train with this? Like, I just think he trained with like a sort of special weapon that was like simulating the rings when he's a kid. That's why he's good at like ring fighting. Mm-hmm. But literally, this is the first time he's wearing it, and he somehow beat his dad with it, and then, well, he beat his dad with a special, like, kung fu that, like, his aunt taught him. Yeah. And then, the spinning ring, like, reactor blast, like, what, how did he know how to do that? Like, he, like, supercharged that move, so, like, how did he know that? Did the rings tell him how to do that? Was that, I just, like, what? Even his dad never did that move. Like, it would make sense if his dad did it and he saw him do it one time and was like, oh, maybe one day I'll like figure out and do that, or like I should practice that move and I'll use it now, like at the end. Somehow, you know what I mean? Just how? How did he know to do that move? Because that's a really strange move of throw your rings in the monster's mouth and then spin it to death. You know what I mean? Like, that's a very specific thing. That's my only gripe about that part, was like, how did he know that move? Everything else made sense. He's a master of all these deadly forms of martial arts and weaponry, right? Like, Mortal Kombat stuff. Mm-hmm. You have now magic rings that you just didn't know how to control until recently, and then you do this, like, mega death move that can blow up a dragon that, like, you know, even a dragon fighting this dragon, this demon dragon, like, you know, like the Chinese magic dragon, like, had a hard time fighting.
Yeah.
No. I don't know.
Yeah, but I like the bus fight and then like the like kind of like scaffolding fight in the first half mm-hmm. of the movie are like way like I definitely way prefer those than like the ending stuff. You know, ending stuff's fun, but like those two fights in particular are like are awesome, and like I wish the whole movie is like more of that maybe.
Well, that's the problem with the Ten Ring thing. You knew it was going to be supernatural once.
Yeah, I mean, right from, like, the first, like, minute of the movie, where, like, fucking, like, Tony Long is just, like, blasting his way, like, Dynasty Warriors style to people. Like, it's just all right.
That is a good way of explaining it. Oh, I gotta watch that Dynasty Warriors movie. I just forgot about
it. Oh, man, yeah.
That's the follow-up to Shang-Chi.
Yeah. And then it literally turns into Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. With, like,
flashback sequences, courtship fight,
it's like Tony Long and his wife are like fighting slash like falling in love with each other.
And then I just didn't understand like where she came from, because she was from her, so she came from the realm who then sometimes hangs out on Earth just to hang out on it.
I guess she like came out during the time, like the one time of the year whenever you could like leave Talo or something, maybe. I don't know. Or she just like was she guarding the entrance? Like, there's like, there's someone always guarding the entrance at some point or something, but then there wasn't when they drove the car, she did a bad job
if you think about it, because like,
yeah,
they had a flirt fight the first time and then he came back and took her on a picnic. So not a good guard. There should be like a two-person job, not just like a one woman who just like, oh, I fell in love with like the stranger. Mm-hmm. But they did a good job explaining the manor and why he's been hidden and why he's more feared, and he's like, you know, his goal was never to like take over the world, but just kind of like fuck around and just like make sure that everything's sort of in order, but in a like terrible way. Mm-hmm. I kind of like the idea that he came out of retirement and like, was it like 2000, if you think about it. It's like he met his wife in 1996. Shang-Chi was 6 or 7 when his mom died.
Yeah, then he was 14 when...
14 or 15 when he went on his mission. No, like 15. Yeah. Is he supposed to be 25 in Shang-Chi? Mm-hmm. Because his friend's been 10 years with Awkwafina since high school. And then he's supposed to be like a college dropout, or just like they finished college but just didn't do anything. And then, like, it's funny because they think they're supposed to be like 25, but I'm like, Awkwafina's like my age. Yeah, she's like 30 something. She's not 25. No offense, but that's why I was confused. I was like, oh, they're all supposed to be like in their 20s? Like, they're all in their 30s.
Yeah, like Simu Liu is like 32.
Yeah, so I'm like, what is this? Like, they're not 25. If they're over 25, they need to get younger. He still looks young, but not that young. And then, I mean, it's not bad. It's a nice entry, but not my favorite Marvel movie.
It's a solid like. Origin movie, like one of the more, like, if you're talking about like just like MCU origin movies, like it's probably like upper middle of the origin movies.
But it's my problem is it's an escalating thing about the Marvel things when they introduce more and more big world concepts, and then it's like we scale it back, and then it's like, wait a minute, why you gotta explain why this thing didn't happen to this. You know, for a while, I was like, did this thing get, like, blipped out of existence? Did all, you know, these people get blipped? Are we not going to mention the blip?
Yeah.
Is the Mandarin not going to mention the blip? Because in that 10 years, the blip happened. Did he check on his kids and make sure they're okay? Did they get blipped? We don't know.
You know, like, neither of us have seen Eternals yet, but I feel like there's gonna be even more of that in Eternals. Like, I feel like your brain's gonna explode, Chris, when you try to like figure out why the Eternals didn't do anything.
Well, they said they just didn't care.
Because like deviants were involved.
Yeah,
they couldn't interfere unless it was like a deviant.
But I mean, I still haven't seen Eternals yet, but I'll be pissed when I'm like find out where it's like, oh yeah, like we just slept through it for 5 years.
Yeah.
Wow, you guys are assholes. Mm-hmm. See, like, so I think in the Eternals in the comic, like, they're off in the other galaxy fighting something else, so that's why they can't protect Earth all the time. But then until the deviants show up, then they're like, okay, I guess we'll do things, because now, like, everything's coming to Earth, even though Earth's not the center of the universe. So, I'll see how I'll like Eternals later. I'll probably watch it on Disney Plus. I have no interest in running to the theaters.
And you haven't seen Black Widow yet, have you?
I have.
Oh, you have? Okay.
I thought we talked about that.
I talked about it when I saw it like the second week, because I didn't see it the first week it came out. I saw it the second week it came out, but
yeah, I think we'll talk about it real quick. But like Black Widow was good because like everything was on a basic same level stakes, where it's like, okay, we have just like evil rich guy with a mercenary squad, and then versus like mercenary team that is trying to take it out from the inside, and it's like no. I like Black Widow. I mean, it sounds bad, but I kind of like Black Widow better because it's grounded and it's consistent. Where it's like, oh, this is before the blip. They kind of mention that a lot. Well, obviously. And then, you know, you can't just have like anyone show up to help because all the Avengers are not available. And then no one wants to help Black Widow because like they didn't know this happened at all.
Yeah.
All that made sense. But Shang-Chi is like, no, you're like TikTok famous for that bus fight. And then, you know, like, shouldn't some people keep track of the Mandarin? Like, how have you lost radar? Shouldn't, like, any Hydra person know about this and whatever?
Yeah, I feel, yeah, like, why, like, yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D. should have find out, at least, like, know about, someone should know about the Mandarin.
Yeah, someone should mention something.
Someone should realize that when like they fucking kidnapped Ben Kingsley from prison, like
for like a few years, if you think about it.
Yeah, because like fucking like Scoot McNairy was like working for Tony Leung. If you watch like the was it Return of the King? Like, is it Return of the King or Hail the King? Like that Marvel short.
Yep. Yeah, that was a good one. So that, I mean that. That got me excited for things. But, yeah, when I saw this, I was like, they're really just going with the lead into the comedy now about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Ben Kingsley's just full on just wacky, like full comic relief guy.
I did feel sad when he kind of, like, spoiler alert, like, faked his death. It was pretty clever. But then, like, he's not in the rest of the movie after that. Oh, wait, no, I think he, like, does the light ceremony.
Yeah, he was there. I don't remember, I wonder if, did he stay in Ta Lo, or did he, like, because, like, I think it cuts immediately from, like, the, like light ceremony to, like, Shang-Chi and Katie back in, like, San Francisco.
Yep.
Again.
They and don't then, explain like, what happened.
And then Wong shows up. So yeah, Shang-Chi is fun. It's on Disney Plus now, so everyone can watch it. And see anything else, Chris?
No, that's it.
Well, I guess if you can Disney Plus stuff. I saw the other thing that came out for Disney Plus today, which they made Jungle Cruise available for everybody. So I saw that. It's fine. It's definitely there's a certain point where it gets weird, which I don't know if you care about spoilers, Chris, but
no, I saw Jungle Cruise.
Oh, you saw? Okay.
I mentioned to you, and it's like I'm not spoiling it to you because I need you to see it to understand my
okay.
problem.
Okay, so we've both seen it. Yes, yeah, so spoilers for Jungle Cruise. But yeah, the fact like just like was it like halfway through when like The Rock's like, oh, I'm also an undead.
I'm an immortal.
Star.
I'm immortal.
Yeah,
I'm
I was just like, what the fuck? Like,
it's weird, right?
So and he was like. He was like a mercenary that like Aguirre hired, or like,
no, he was his friend.
He was his friend slash like cartographer.
Yep, he's the gentle giant cartographer.
Yeah, who just decides in like the middle of a massacre, like, oh, I'm gonna stop this now. Like, I'm gonna finally step in and stop this.
Well, yeah, then he goes, oh, hey, don't do that, and he's like, how dare you stop me? And then you get stabbed.
Yeah. And then they just, like, fight each other Highlander style for hundreds of years.
Okay, and then I got a big issue about that. So I'm gonna forget the Emily Blunt part and her brother, because that part wasn't
Yeah.
bad. I'm going from straight for the throat, where it's like, did the that tribal group not have a guardian of their own that they can like enchant to make like unkillable, and then cure him later when like, when it's his duty's over, then they can rotate
Well,
out the staff.
I thought it was weird that like I thought they were like gonna reveal, because like obviously, because like The Rock is not like a fucking like monster like the other guys are, which I guess is because
Wait,
they
okay,
got
we'll
locked
get
in
into that
like.
part too, right? Okay, but here's the thing. How did, first off, terrible curse, because it either makes you undead and it makes you unkillable regardless, right?
Yeah.
So now the
The only,
tribe
well,
cursed them to be
it's
undead.
like
They can
the
go
only
around
downside,
terrorizing
yeah,
everyone else.
the only downside is that you can't leave. Like, if you get too far away from the river, then you get sucked back into the jungle. That's like
But that's not
that's
as
the curse
bad as
part of it.
like,
Yeah.
but it doesn't kill you. It just makes you sure you just bring back to the jungle. So
Yeah.
just no matter where you go, like you'll just be. So I get like the
Well,
curse sucks, right?
I guess you turn to a rock. I guess you get petrified or something. If you
But
like,
that's if you don't touch the water.
yeah.
So it's like, but the jungle itself will try to drag you as close to the water first, so you don't turn to a rock instantly. Remember that, because that happens. Like the
Yeah, yeah, because The Rock like lures everyone to like that
into a
hole
trap.
and in a trap,
Well,
and like it
okay.
traps them there.
The hole then transforms, it gives everyone's curse superpowers.
Yes,
Because they fell in the same
they
hole and they all got different powers from it.
like Edgar Ramirez is like Snake
Hey.
Man now, and then the one guy's like a honey like a bee guy, and then the other guy's like a mud guy, and then.
So, what the fuck's up with this curse so that that can happen? Like the rock, all the rock had to do was just like wait somewhere and he can get awesome powers.
Yeah,
Like
if he had like put himself in the hole too, like maybe he could have become like that, like literally The Rock. Like he could have got rock powers or
rock
something.
powers, or all you
Yeah.
had to do was tell like a friend, "Hey, I'm gonna be in there for like a few months. Just like later, drop some water on me."
Yeah.
He made society happen in that town. Like he helped build society. So it's like
Yeah.
all he had to do was get a friend and just be like, "Do me a favor, I'm gonna become stone for a little bit. Like just drop water on me next year, and I'll have awesome powers to help build society or be like your guardian, or whatever."
Yeah.
But like
Yeah, I guess they got the powers because of how long they were there. Like they just like absorbed like the essence. Like I guess the one guy was like he was like on top of a beehive or something. So that's why he got bee
it doesn't
powers. I don't know.
explain how it happened though.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, you just got super magic powers. I'm like, this
Yeah.
curse didn't really work out in a way the original tribe thought. It's not like a punishment. In fact,
Yeah,
sometimes it seems like
it's.
awful.
It's well, I mean, a lot of this movie is like trying to be like the Brendan Fraser mummy movies, but like that's also like a Brendan Fraser mummy thing where it's like, oh, you cursed Imhotep, but the curse made him like a fucking like invincible mo like invincible like the most powerful creature on the planet. Like, what's the
Yeah, so
curse of
like,
this?
was this the first time you used the curse? Because it could be, right? Like, it's something you guys knew
Yeah.
that would do this. So why didn't you just curse one of your members to then just be this? And then you can cure it with the cure later, like the plant cure. So it's not a forever curse. It doesn't seem like a curse. Like the more you think about it, because what was
Wasn't there?
stopping,
Yeah. Also, like,
what was stopping the conquistadors from then just going up and down the river, killing and like taking over everything? Nothing, right? Like,
Because as long as they didn't go too far, they could like form like they could like create their own like river empire, like just have like. They're like they just ruled the like fucking Amazon forever.
the curse didn't work out the way. I mean, granted, the leader missed his daughter because he wanted, that was like the noble thing. It was like another Killmonger situation where like he had good intentions. I don't know
Yeah.
why he didn't bring the daughter there.
Well, I thought when he started getting into it, like I thought like maybe like I thought maybe like the Because like The Rock had like sort of tried to do the right thing, that like, he didn't get cursed as bad as the other ones. But and then like that, the curse like made the like the other like because they were all just like slaughtering everyone except for the Rock. Like I thought that like that's why they became like monsters and the Rock was just like normal Rock with like immortality. But then it's just, like, oh no, he just didn't get trapped for hundreds of years. So if he had gotten trapped with them, he would have turned into like some sort of like weird creature.
But that would have been fine because the Rock actually just like hates being alive.
Yeah.
So. You know, I can quite understand the point of showcasing the different awesome powers you can get as, like, an unkillable monster.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was my problem.
That was just, like, I feel like that, like, Joan Cruz has the same problem as, like, the Jumanji movies, where it's, like, the villains are, like, very weak and, like, not really in it that much, so it's just, like, I don't really, like, who cares?
I didn't mind the German villain. That part was cool.
Jesse Plemons is great. Like, he's just going full over the top insane. And also, Paul Giamatti's also going, like, full over the top insane. It's, like, this, like, crazy Italian stereotype. It's like, it's me, Paul Giamatti. I run the football tour. But, yeah, like, Like the conquistadors like vanish for like so like the like they show up they make like the weird deal with Jesse Plemons and then just like vanish for like an hour and then show up at the end. So like they're not in it enough to be like a threat or like really like to like do it like it's just like oh it's like when they finally come back you're just like oh right there's like undead conquistadors in this movie. I totally forgot about them because they were mm-hmm. gone for half the movie.
So it's very like it's enjoyable if you don't think about it.
Yeah, it's
another movie like the Shang-Chi where like you like about 80% of it. It's just the 20% is just like plot. You don't like you wish it was stronger.
Yeah, it's a perfectly fine while you're watching it, and then like the next day you'll probably completely forget anything that happened. it's not memorable at all. It's like it's just like a like this is fun at the time, and then I like and it just like vanishes from your brain. It's definitely trying to be like The Mummy or like Pirates of the Caribbean, and I don't think it's as good. It doesn't really match either of those at all. But if you're on Disney Plus, it's fine.
Yeah, like I
like Emily Blunt and The Rock have some fun back and forth, even though it kind of gets
their
like,
romance doesn't feel great.
No, the romance is terrible. Like if it would have been way better if they just ended up as like friends or like oh we're like partners now. Like but then like it's just the fact that like Emily Blunt like sacrifices like. Like gives up her like one petal for like to bring the Rock back, and they have the kiss at the end. It's like, all right, this kid came out.
I felt like the brother and the Rock had a better romance.
Yeah. And then speaking of the Rock, I also saw Red Notice this past week. Weekend, which was also
I'm gonna try to see that soon, so don't try to spoil so much on that one.
I won't hold off on spoilers for that one, but there's also just like the Jungle Cruise, it's fine. It starts out pretty well, and then by the time like it sort of like gets like burst in toward the back half. It also just like for like this movie costs like $200 million, and a lot of like the CG and like looks terrible, so I don't know what the hell, like I don't know what the like but
where
I guess
the money
maybe,
went.
Yeah, I guess all the money went to like the three main actors, and then I was like, well, we have like not a lot left for like special effects, because this is like the biggest Netflix movie. Like I think they bought it, they didn't like pay like the full like budget to make it, but I think they paid like some sort of crazy amount of money to like get the like exclusive rights to it or something. But it's like the most expensive movie that they've acquired. But yeah, it starts out pretty strong. Like it has like a really fun opening where like The Rock is like this FBI profiler who's like trying to track down Ryan Reynolds, who's like this art thief. And there's like this whole like kind of chase in like this museum where, because like Ryan Reynolds steals like this. There's the whole movie revolves around, there are these three like golden eggs that Cleopatra had. They were like a wedding gift to her, but they got lost. One of them is like completely lost, like no one knows where the one is. But the other two are like in like, one's in a museum, one's in like this like private arms dealer's collection. So like Ryan Reynolds is like stealing the first one, and then there's this whole sequence in the beginning of the movie where like The Rock is chasing through this museum. But then The Rock like manages to capture Ryan Reynolds, and so it's like, you gotta help me like fight, you gotta help me get you're going to jail. but then the Rock gets set up by Gal Gadot, who's her codename is like the Bishop. And she's like the best art thief. Like Ryan Reynolds is like the second best art thief, and then Gal Gadot is like the best art thief. But then she's like trying to get like all three of the eggs herself, because there's like this Egyptian billionaire who says anyone who like gets him all three eggs for like his daughter's wedding will like, he'll give them $300 million for them. So that's why like Ryan Reynolds and Gal Gadot are like after these eggs, because like everyone's after these eggs, like if they get whoever gets all three can like cash in on this like gigantic payday. But then The Rock gets set up to like make it look like he was like partnered up with Ryan Reynolds by Gal Gadot. Like she like fakes like all like these like phone calls and like erases like his like FBI history and stuff. So he gets like put into prison as well. So then it's like Ryan Reynolds and The Rock have to team up reluctantly like to like stop Gal Gadot and like clear The Rock's name. And
is she blatantly the villain?
She's the one like that like Ryan Reynolds and The Rock are trying to like team up to try to stop, because she's like but she's only like one step ahead of them, and like it's like she's basically constantly one-upping them. But yeah, she has like this whole kind of like network working for her, so she's like much more connected than like Ryan Reynolds, who's just like kind of like con manning his way through everything. And she has like the like ability to like erase like The Rock's like fucking like FBI credentials and stuff.
I feel like this is almost like an unofficial sequel to Hobbs and Shaw, where The Rock and Ryan Reynolds just team up.
I feel like it's definitely trying to be like Hobbs and Shaw, or like any of like The Rock, like anything where The Rock is like teamed up with someone, like The Rundown, or like there's been a couple other ones. I mean Hobbs and Shaw is definitely one of them, the influences, or like what it's trying to be, or like The Rundown. It's definitely not as good as any of those, it's definitely not as good as like, I don't know, like the Ryan Reynolds side of like, you know, like Hitman's Bodyguard. Like I feel like that movie, like those movies have like, I feel like Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson had better banter than this one, and also like that was rated R, so like Reynolds could like be like unleashed more.
Oh, like, this movie's like PG-13, right?
PG-13, so it's like a lot of like straining against like Ryan Reynolds like being like straining against like the like limits of like what you can like how you can insult people. Like he can't go full Deadpool or full like Hitman's Bodyguard, where it's just, like, you know, dropping F-bombs and calling like going all the way. It's like these like sort of lame like insults of like, well, this is like PG-13 friendly, so we can say this. We can't go like too far. Also, like Ryan Reynolds is at like 11 the entire movie, and it kind of gets exhausting. Like it's like he's like everything he says he has like no serious lines. It's all just like banter. It's all just like jokes and wacky like insults, I guess, The Rock. So it's like by the time like the movie's over, you're just like, oh my god, like that was like too much Ryan Reynolds. I think
it's like Van Wilder Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah. And yeah, and then as the movie goes on, like it also like, so like the first action sequence is fun, and then like as it goes on, they get more elaborate, but also like the CG gets worse somehow. So it's like
the money's running out halfway through. Then.
Well, they just try to make it like it's like, oh, it's getting bigger and crazier, but it's like but it also looks faker and faker and faker as it goes on. Like, I won't spoil like exactly what happens, but like, there's like a big action sequence toward the end where it kind of feels like, do you remember like Fast and Furious, the fourth Fast and Furious movie, where it's like that the whole ending was like in those like underground tunnels?
Yeah.
It all felt like it was all like super CG and fake. Like, there's like basically a similar action sequence in this one where it's like they're in like underground tunnels and it's like cars driving through them, but it all feels like super like CG and fake and like weightless. So, yeah, I feel like it kind of runs out of steam toward the end, or at least it's like kind of just like the CG just like it's trying too hard and it kind of fails. And it also like blatantly sets up. I feel like this whole movie is also kind of just set up for like a sequel. It's like that's gonna be like what the actual like what like it kind of feels like like the Russell Crowe Robin Hood or something where it's like
you had
this whole movie and now we're setting up the actual movie. So there, it kind of ends on that note where it's like and now get ready for the sequel where we're actually gonna do what we said we're
all three of them like, team up or whatever.
Maybe, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's fine. I mean, I think everyone's done better movie. Like, there's definitely better movies from all three of the main actors were like that have similar vibes to this, like the Fast and Furious movies or The Rundown or Jumanji or like Hitman's Bodyguard, like. This one's definitely trying to like, it's trying to be similar to those, but it just doesn't quite reach any of those. But it's a fine like if you're looking for something to watch on Netflix on like a weekend afternoon or something, it's fine. And yeah, when you see it, Chris, we'll dive into like more specifics and like dig into. Like,
hopefully I'll see it soon. I've got like a backlog of things I want to watch this week.
There's definitely like there's at least one twist where it's just like okay. Like, but yeah, so I saw that, and then last thing I saw is another Disney Plus Day thing. I saw all five of the new episodes of The World According to Jeff Goldblum. So there's five new episodes of that. Pretty fun. Like if you enjoyed the first season, like it's pretty much the same thing, just like Jeff Goldblum just going around being charming and investigating the random things. I think of the new episodes, I think the best one for me is probably like the magic one, because he's like where he kind of like just like explores magic and like it's like why do we like magic so much. It's just like where we like we know we're getting scammed, we love it anyway. and there's like a fun like Penn Teller show up for like a cameo and like a segment. And it's really cool because like, so Penn Teller show up and then like, they hook Jeff Goldblum up to like a machine that like lets them see like where his eyes are looking. So it's sort of like this like scientific like analysis like how magicians actually like fool you with like their like movements and stuff. Cause you get to see like where Jeff is looking. Well, and then so you can see like all like the Penn Teller like distraction and like sleight of hand stuff. Scientifically, but that's cool because like Penn Teller do like they basically do like the classic like kind of cup and ball trick where it's like they make balls appear on different cups and stuff, but then they do it with like clear cups, so you actually see all the balls and they show exactly how they do it, but it's still like crazy and still like how the hell are they doing this, even though I'm seeing the cups are clear, I'm seeing exactly what they're doing, but it's still like how are they doing it. Like, and then there's also like a fun episode where like there's like an episode about monsters where like he kind of investigates like why we like everyone like loves like classic monster movies and classic monsters and stuff.
Mm-hmm. That's cool that they kind of go into these like deep dive nerdy subjects.
Yeah,
Jeff Goldblum does it though. It's kind of fun because it's kind of like his own commentary on it.
Yeah, and it's just like his like narration. It's just like so quirky and weird, and like and it is like some of the stuff is just like just random, like dogs. Let's learn about dogs for a half an hour. Or fireworks. And like the first season was like jeans. I don't know. You ever think about jeans?
Where did they come from?
Yeah.
Why should wear them? Go to renters.com.
Man, I wish. Yeah, that would be a weird if he did like an episode about like apartments. What if people live in apartments?
Is it apartments.com or something?
Or like dinosaurs. But yeah, if you like the first season, these new episodes are fun. It's pretty much the same thing. It's just difficult being charming and quirky and like wandering around America, like meeting people and like learning about different things. So another thing to check out on Disney Plus. And that's pretty much it for me this week. So we wrap things up. Definitely head over to the site. We got all of our regular stuff up there. You can check out our commentaries. We have our Blind Fury commentary from last month up there, and we're going to be doing a special Thanksgiving commentary coming up next week. If you're hearing this on Thanksgiving, we're going to be watching the Disney speaking of Disney stuff. We're watching the Disney classic Gus, like Don Knotts, Ed Asner, Tim Conway, football playing mule movie. That I guess we'll find out what that's all about. Christmas counters, so definitely come back and listen to that. And all the regular features are up the site every day, so head over to check all that stuff out. And yeah, so for Chris, I am Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.